coming to you live from a very soothing corner of Midtown Sacramento. It's the Nate Darling Show. Hold on, we have to warn you first.
The following program is rated M for a mature audience. It contains coarse language.
Yes, it does. It does not contain Diana Hong, though. She is not with us. Sam Platts is here, Kareem Daniels is here, and now, the man who misses Diana more than he can possibly put into words, here's Nate.
Hey everybody. How's it going?
It's going good, Nate. That was touching.
Wasn't it?
It was beautiful.
We all miss Diana. But she's selling shoes to people right now. She'll complain about it later.
No doubt.
Because that's what she does. I enjoyed her Facebook post about somebody who didn't buy shoes the proper way from her. And my comment was, maybe you're just not cut out for sales. You know? Maybe commission sales, not your game.
That's a tough gig, man.
It is. It is. It's no slight on her if it's not, but... you gotta understand that commission sales is not for everybody. So she's working as we record. So oh Lord, I gotta get ready here. I'm sort of not fully prepared for the show. So let's start out with this. How was everybody's Thanksgiving? Kareem, how was yours?
It was good.
Did you get to spend time with family and such?
Yeah, we had dinner at my Sacramento mom's house.
Okay.
Decided to cook turkey at 4 o'clock in the morning.
That's an interesting time.
Hardcore.
So what time? So dinner was what, 7:30 a.m.
It should have been, but so she dried out the turkey a little bit. But then we did. I think we had dinner probably about 4 or 5. We had about 12 people at the house.
Nice. It's a nice big Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Sam, what about you?
Thanksgiving was splendid. It was also kind of a small gathering, but it was a gathering full of loved ones who enjoy one another's company.
That's nice.
It was very nice.
At grandma's house where you live?
At grandma's house where I now live.
Is there a...
Go ahead, phone.
Oh, you're not hearing yourself?
No.
Hold on.
There we go.
That's better. I'm going to turn that down. Sam, can you not hear yourself now?
I don't hear anything.
Nothing? Hold on.
I did, and oh, there it is. Just a little tweak of the knob there.
There you go. Okay, now everybody can hear everything.
Yeah, everybody can hear
behind the scenes, we now have everything done. So you had Thanksgiving locally here in the...
I had a nice, it was right in the area.
No traveling. I'm the only one who traveled then.
Oh.
Where'd you go?
I went to my friend Hootie's down in Salinas, which is a lovely corner of the world. It's about a 3-hour drive. And so I left here Wednesday at about 6:30, and I made it all the way to Elk Grove before I came upon my first accident.
Oh, no.
And it was stop-and-go traffic for about 3 or 4 miles around Elk Grove. So for anybody not from around Sacramento, I made it 20 minutes south of here before I hit the first accident. And it was like 3 or 4 cars that had a little fender bender deal, and they were off to the side. And the last accident I ran into was by, and I hate driving through Stockton. Can I just say I hate driving through Stockton? Because I-5 through there has been under construction for
right. 20 years.
I've been living in Sacramento for 7.5 years, and it's been under construction that entire time.
They're just faking it.
It's never going to be fixed, yeah. And it's just narrow lanes and nonsense. And it's just like you feel really claustrophobic because the only people that are out driving are the people who need to get somewhere and the big fucking trucks. And
right.
And they have no regard for space or anything. So went down, got partway there, stopped for gas in the Los Banos area. It was Santanella. Santanella is where it's
okay.
And the town of gas stations, as I like to call it. And truck stops.
Mm-hmm.
And I get off and I'm like, oh, I'll go over there. And there was a line, huge lines of people at the Arco. And I look over at I forget the name of the place, the Love's Travel Center.
Okay.
And gas is 4 cents a gallon more at the Love's Travel Center. But there's several pumps wide open, nobody at them. Mm. But people are waiting in line to save 4 cents
nope,
a gallon.
Not me.
I would have, as I looked at my, I pumped my gas, and I realized that I spent 28 cents that I didn't have to by going over there.
And this is the other thing, though. 28 cents is all you did. If you went to Arco and you're paying with your debit card, you would have had to pay a 50 cent fee just to use that card. So you came out like a bandit.
Well, I would have gone inside to use the Chase ATM.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Of course you
but
would.
But then you spend time, and time is money.
Time is money, baby.
Because you got to go in, you got to get cash, you got to come out, you put a cash in the machine. Then you got to pump your gas. Then you got to go back in and get your change behind all the line. It's
and
just
all that's after waiting for a pump.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, not going to happen.
I'm that guy who, if I'm driving on the freeway and I know I could take side roads, it might take 10 minutes longer to get to my destination. I'd rather do that than sit in traffic. I hate lines. I hate traffic. I hate being in large crowds of stupid people.
So that was it. It was moderately heavy traffic all the way over there. And then I got on 101 South. And I'd been on for like 2 minutes, and there was, I had the Waze app open, and it said, accident ahead. Well, the accident was in the other direction. And about 7 miles from my exit was, I didn't look over to see the crash, because I don't need to see that. I've seen crashes before. But there were fire trucks, cops there, and more coming up 101. So it was it was a pretty big accident. But made it there in a little over 3 hours. Spent a nice holiday weekend down there until came back on Saturday. And here's what I learned. I've learned to drink without getting hungover, unlike some of my friends.
Uh-oh.
Because Black Friday described how their head felt after drinking on Thanksgiving. Mm. I drank a lot on Thanksgiving because the 49ers sucked.
What do they do?
They had a game on Thanksgiving night in front of the nation at home against their biggest rival. It was their chance to get back into the division race.
Oh, man.
And I thought I was pissed off until I found out that their owner was so mad that he tweeted an apology after
nice.
The game.
Nice. Good move.
Jed York tweeted, "Thank you, hashtag 49ers faithful, for coming out strong tonight. This performance wasn't acceptable. I apologize for that."
Right on.
So he was pissed off. You know who else was mad? The the daughter of the 49ers general manager, who's in college, she also tweeted that she said, "Greg Roman can take a hike. The 49ers don't want you no more." There was an apology for that the next day. Because mm-hmm. Greg Roman is still the offensive coordinator. But, yeah, Colin Kaepernick, huge disappointment. He was more disappointed than more disappointing than a dry turkey.
I told somebody that last year, and they told me I was crazy when, you know, he had his little breakout moment. I was like, he still can't anticipate a throw. He's not that good.
He's not. He's showing again and again how not good he is. And yeah, I was pissed. I mean, we didn't even stay for the end of the game. We went out to Target.
Oh wow!
Because we live walking. My buddy lives walking distance from a Target, and we all went over there. And I'm the only one who didn't come back with a deal on a Sony soundbar. They both bought Sony soundbars.
Were they wrestling people in?
No. It was pretty quiet. There weren't that many people. Honestly, it's all calmed down because everybody can buy stuff online.
Yeah.
I think the people are about over Black Friday.
The thrill is gone. Now it's not even Black Friday anymore. It's Black Thanksgiving, and you're supposed to be home with your families, and you're not.
Yeah. I think about 2 more years it'll be
fizzling out.
It'll be dead.
Well, yeah. It's not the event it was, because they're open on Thanksgiving. Black Friday's not that event. It's not the stores closed. Stores close. Got to wait for the store to open. No, the store is open, so it's like,
yeah,
eh.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's just another day. So they've lost out on that, but there were still plenty of people around and still plenty of deals. I could have grabbed a sound bar myself, but I didn't, because I'm like, no, I don't have a sound bar.
I boycott it.
I know.
Yeah,
we made that clear last week. It's perfectly perfectly acceptable for a number of reasons. Yours, the people who are anti-consumerism as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
who were like, no, I'm not gonna support the corporate machine.
I love those people that shut down the mall in St. Louis.
I didn't see that. I saw the people who started pounding on windows in Union Square in San Francisco and throwing bottles at cops.
Yeah, I missed that.
That was Black Friday. That was a quote unquote Ferguson protest.
Yeah, they had a die-in in the mall in St. Louis, and they shut down the mall.
Either way,
and then all over the they had protests all over the country. Still are today. A lot of people walked out.
Okay.
Of everywhere. Schools, jobs.
They're just taking an extended weekend. No. Some people are actually protesting. A lot of people are just taking an extended weekend. They can say whatever. They're taking an extended weekend. They're like, oh, let's see. So I can walk out now and it'll be a protest? Yeah, I won't get fired because it's a protest. I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm out the door. Thanksgiving. Good times, Black Friday, went to a couple of places, but did I buy anything? Yeah, I did. I bought one Christmas gift for my dad, and I bought AppleCare for my new iPhone.
That was my
consumerism for Black Friday.
Well, did they even have a deal on AppleCare? Was it
no?
Okay,
no. I just have a new iPhone.
They don't have a deal on anything at Apple.
Nothing Apple.
No. Apple. You get to have Apple stuff. That's the deal. You pay them a lot of money, and you get to have their stuff.
Okay.
It wasn't a deal. It was that I got a new phone, and I needed to go into a store to get the AppleCare because I didn't get it when I bought the phone from Sprint. And you can't. They won't let you buy it online without buying a device to put it on.
Mm. Oh.
So I'm like, oh, I'll just buy AppleCare. And it's like, you can't do that.
You know, you can go to Best Buy, and they have... Where'd you get... You got
the black tie protection.
I got it from
huh?
Sprint.
Yeah, Best Buy, you can buy protection there, too.
Yeah, it's a long story, but now I have AppleCare on my phone, so it's all good.
Fabulous.
But I was not hungover. My friends were, some of them. But it could be worse, because Thanksgiving for a woman in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, got a little crazy. She's been charged with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, simple assault, reckless endangerment, and making terroristic threats. Why? Because her boyfriend was hungry. The report is that 47-year-old Jacqueline Blake confessed to chasing her boyfriend around her dining room and stabbing him in the chest because he started eating Thanksgiving dinner while she was asleep. Now,
that's a pretty cold move, though, honestly. That'll get you stabbed.
Well, according to authorities, her boyfriend claims she started drinking earlier in the day and was taking a nap while he ate. When she awoke to find him enjoying the meal without her, she stabbed him and then threw the knife at his face, hitting him below the left eye. Police reportedly found him holding a towel over his bleeding chest, and he was taken to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. The reports make it unclear whether or not Blake has a lawyer. Also unclear whether or not she finally got to enjoy that Thanksgiving dinner.
Was it worth it?
I don't know.
I'd be pissed, especially if I was the one who prepared the meal, and I was just so exhausted. Like, Kareem's mother
drunk.
Who woke up at 4 a.m. to make a turkey.
Right, if that was what it was, but if it was because you were hitting the sauce and you passed out while the stuff was in the oven,
yeah.
No, that's... Listen, if you're hungry, you're hungry. There should be plenty of side snacks around so you don't have to carve the bird.
Like if the dude just kind of took a dollop of mashed potatoes or what have you. But if he lit the candles on the table, set it all out,
nice romantic meal by himself.
He deserves to have a knife thrown at his face.
Seriously, yes. Do you know a single man who would light the candles and just eat by himself?
This dude.
Okay, I mean a real man.
just kind of somewhere in between there.
No, Sam's a real man.
I'm lumberjack eusexual. Jax, how do you say that? Lumberjacksual.
Lumberjacksual. Well, you know how everyone has got their dog somewhere with them? They can't go anywhere without their dog.
Oh, God.
Including
yeah.
on planes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a new therapy animal got thrown off of a plane in Connecticut. It was a pig. It was ordered off a U.S. Airways plane at Bradley International in Connecticut. On the busiest travel day of the year, last Wednesday, after crew members determined the animal had become disruptive.
Yeah, I imagine so.
The pig had been brought aboard the flight by a passenger as an emotional support animal. Apparently, both the pig and its owner left the aircraft before it took off. There were no other details, and we were not exactly sure where the flight was headed. University of Massachusetts professor who was on the flight said he initially thought the female passenger was just carrying a duffel bag.
It was a cute one of those cute ones made in Japan that look like small animals.
Yeah, and then he smelled it. It was a pig on a leash.
Oh, my God.
And the woman sat next to him and tied the pig to her armrest. But that's not where it ends.
Your cousins.
It's not where it ends. Is that a cop joke? No. The pig is incontinent.
I don't know what that means. It's incontinent.
It can't control his bowels.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah, the dookie flows.
Yeah, the passenger scrambled to keep control of the pig while trying to clean up its mess. Then the pig began running back and forth.
Who in the hell is even going to pretend that that's a therapy animal? That is anti-therapy. That's going to cause more problems.
But if they shit and run around,
it's going to cause disease and anxiety.
Listen, that
your cousins,
my cousin. That's all I know. That's all I know. Pigs to do is shit and run around. I mean, what
and
else?
And roll
would you,
in their shit.
What would you expect them to do?
Yeah.
Other than shit and run around.
No, my issue is that anyone would claim this was a therapy animal. How does that make sense?
Your cousins.
My cousins rode in Viking ships and raped and pillaged. They didn't have little tiny pigs on airplanes.
They had large pigs.
That's what
on
you say.
They had large pigs on their ships to cook and eat.
There you go.
There you go.
No, they had wild boar. It's so much cooler. I'm trying to take what I can.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry to break this to you, because I know we're all unmarried in this room, correct? Correct?
Correct.
That's correct.
There we go. Well, Nicole Snooki Polizzi is now married, so she's off the market.
Damn.
The Jersey Shore alum said I do to her fiancé, Johnny LaValle, at the Venetian in Garfield, New Jersey on Saturday.
You can still hit that if you got enough alcohol.
It's a fact.
The proud parents to Lorenzo, who's two, and Giovanna Marie, who's 3 months old, celebrated their love with a Great Gatsby-themed wedding, complete with a cigar and scotch bar.
Oh, my God.
Snooki, who's 26, donned two dresses from Bridal Reflections for the big day. Well, not at the same time. An off-white traditional lace gown for the ceremony and a more fun...
Really off-white.
Very off-white.
More fun and Gatsby-themed dress for the reception. The bride previously shared with Us Magazine... so if you want to go back in Us Magazine's website, you can take a look at it. Her bridesmaids include BFF Jenny J-Wow Farley, wore black gowns with bows on them. Now, after the couple exchanged vows, the bridal party and family and friends danced to 18-piece band Time Machine.
Yeah.
So,
the one thing they did right.
Yeah. And virtually all the guys from the Jersey Shore were there. Pauly D was there. J-Wow was there. Dina was there.
I don't want to be that guy who would say that thing, but I'm going to be that guy who says that thing.
Yes? You're going
to
wish
there
them
had
well?
To be like a terrorist bombing or strike, that would have been okay with me if it happened right there.
Sam, I have a question for you.
Shit.
Has anyone ever referred to you as a punk-ass motherfucker?
All day, every day, baby.
You are a punk-ass motherfucker.
Thank you,
it's true.
Thank you, David Hasselhoff.
Thank you, Hasselhoff.
So congratulations. Does that make their bastard children no longer bastard children? I'm unclear.
You know, they will always be bastards, but they're fathered now. Fathered bastards.
Well, I mean, the father's been there since the beginning. They've just been unmarried. So.
Right.
Yeah, well, congratulations. You can say this about, you can say a lot of things about them, but here's the thing. Both kids, same two parents.
That's congratulations. That's a good thing.
So they are an intact family now, official and legal and all that. Hey, speaking of weddings, I know that, things in the future could get serious for you. I've had two weddings myself, but a young New York couple had a very moving wedding ceremony recently, and no, it was not Great Gatsby themed. In fact, it was a little bit more basic, should you say.
Oh, Hey, on this train car, in about 20 minutes, my bride-to-be will be arriving on this train car at 36th Street. If you want to stay, you're more than welcome to. We're trying to get as much space as we possibly can. We would totally appreciate it if you'd be willing to move to the other car. If you were, please accept a flower as a token of our appreciation, but also as a token of our love, not just for the city, but for all the people in it. You might be asking yourself what kind of imbecile not only plans to hold his wedding on a train car, but does it on Black Friday.
Wow. New York City subway.
I can only imagine.
New York City subway.
I'm anxious just imagining that.
The people on the train were like, uh-huh.
You're an idiot and I'm not moving.
They were not moving. They tied the knot on the local N train between Brooklyn and Manhattan. Shocker, he's a hipster.
I wonder how long that ceremony lasted.
They were married by an interfaith chaplain as the train went over the Manhattan Bridge. It was a short ceremony.
Okay.
Complete with wedding photo of her walking down the aisle of the subway car with people not giving a shit on both sides.
What's she wearing? I imagine
she
like
is wearing
Zoolander derelict, like no, trash bag.
She is wearing a lovely white wedding dress, actually.
What is up with that?
With a bouquet of blue flowers.
You're going to do something this bold and you're going to just go traditional,
He was going more hipster with his vibe. Mm-hmm. And then there's also somebody there who's wearing a shiny jacket and a white t-shirt underneath.
That's my man.
Again, your cousins.
Shiny jacket and white t-shirt. I can handle that.
So they got married and celebrated in the subway. So that's that. Sam, any chance you would get married in a subway? Maybe on BART?
On the BART.
I know Kareem's never getting married on BART.
I went on BART for New Year's Eve.
How was
two
that?
Years ago. I was pressed up against so many people. I don't know who was touching my butt and who's touching my balls.
Okay.
And it smelled horrific.
Are you sure you weren't in China? I mean, Japan.
Right? I couldn't move. I couldn't sit down. I could barely breathe. And then on the way back, because we left, we took the final BART train out of there.
Mm-hmm.
There was fewer people. But, of course, there was a woman who had vomited, and her vomit kept flowing back and forth along the floor.
So you're dodging it?
We're dodging it the whole time. That was, yeah. Maybe nice. That's when I'll have my wedding. Right then.
dare to dream. Just rolling through. See, it depends on which BART train you take. You could be rolling through Oakland.
Oh, right. It's a different vibe.
Yeah, it's very, very different if you're heading through Oakland on BART. Although, I don't get the whole idea of we're going to have a wedding, we're going to celebrate it, but we're going to inconvenience and make as many people uncomfortable as possible.
That's not acceptable.
Yeah. So anyway, that's that. But hold on. Let me, it's time to do this.
They act, we decide. Cool or tool.
Promise I'm going to get that redone at some point, Sam. All right. First up in cool or tool, flying with therapy animals, Kareem.
Tool.
Sam.
Therapy animals, I think that cop-out is a tool move, even if it wasn't a pig, but in this case, major tool.
It is tool, and here's the other thing. They've started putting little walk-your-dog areas at airports, so you don't have to leave the terminal. I've seen them. It's crazy. It's a tool move. Unless it's a seeing-eye dog.
Well, what if someone has like a little time bomb that's shaped like a bone, has their dog eat it? Brings their little tiny dog on the plane and blows the fucker up.
Well, I don't know if the dog has to go through the x-ray machine or not.
Mm.
So there's...
There was some way of white people getting around not being able to put their dogs underneath the plane. That's what the fuck this is.
Okay.
Well, no, that's not even that, because you can put your dog in a carrier and put them underneath your seat as carry-on luggage.
There you go.
That's different than therapy animal. So up next in Cooler Tools, Snooki. Snooki, Sam.
I know you want me just to get to tool, but
I don't care.
Speaking of airplanes, I was on an airplane flight to Kansas, and I took the cheap flight, so I stopped multiple times. I stopped in Texas. Swedish girl sat next to me, and because my grandparents are Swedish, I had to ask her some questions.
Hold on, I thought they were Norwegian.
No, they're Swedish and Norwegian.
Okay.
They're both.
Okay.
Like it's almost 50-50.
Go on.
I'm asking the Swedish girl about Swedish things, and then she's asking me about American things. And apparently, the Swedish perception of America is what they see in the motherfucking Jersey Shore. How embarrassing is that?
Well, that shows
they're the ambassadors.
Welcome to my world.
They are the ambassadors of our nation. Snooki is the biggest tool. She's been played for every penny she was worth, which wasn't, I mean, I don't know, whatever tool.
Kareem?
Tool.
You know what? I think Snooki's cool. She's ever since the show's ended, she's been chill. She shows up in little magazines that I never see. She got two kids. She got married. It's fine. And finally, in cooler tool, destination weddings. Destination weddings. Kareem?
Tool.
Sam?
It all depends on if you're, like you said, inconveniencing people of the public, in which case it's a tool. But destinations can be cool if you do it right.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be a subway. It could be a tropical island. It could be anything.
It could be on the set of Star Trek, the original set.
Yeah, I think destination weddings are a tool, though, because it really does put a big limitation on who can go.
That's true.
And I think that's part of the idea is, oh, we're going to have a destination wedding and only...
To force limit.
Yeah, it's a super self-selecting group of people who can actually afford to go to the wedding.
Yeah.
And do the thing.
I take that back. They might be cool then.
Yeah, if whatever works. Our old friend Larry Mead getting married to his fiance Adam at a destination wedding on an island coming up in January. So
on
congratulations to those two.
Right on.
A little over a month away from that. All right, so now we come to the point in the show. Kareem wanted to know if he could have a couple minutes. So I said, sure. For this segment and this segment only.
Kareem talks to white people about Ferguson.
How'd that go?
That went well. Wow. So last week was really interesting. I don't defriend people because I like to know what people I know that are really racist.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Who they really are.
Yeah.
So, you know, so I have one person who he got upset with me because I said, okay, I get it. You don't understand. I said, I get it. You still believe in the system. And he's like, oh, I'm not of any system and I'm not racist. But every bad Obama thing that comes out that you know is not really, really not true and is racist.
Right.
He posts it.
Oh, of course. Sure.
Right.
He's a pipeline.
Yeah. So, and like just looking through while we're sitting here, I'm just seeing the racist shit that he posted. So that's one thing. But I have friends who I know aren't really racist, but somehow it still doesn't connect for them.
Right.
So like one of my friends, we were having a discussion about the situation. And so I said, well, if all cops don't want you to think that they're bad cops, then maybe the good cops should point out the bad cops.
Mm-hmm. So that's a good rule. I like
that. Yeah. His response to that was, well, what determines a bad cop?
Okay.
It seems like there's some obvious... signs of a bad cop.
Yeah. So he was like, if they take money from drug dealers, if they beat people, I'm like, if you don't know what a bad cop is, you probably shouldn't be a cop.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, you should be able to spot bad behavior in everyone, whether they be on the force or not. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, but the psychology of justifying that, it was really interesting. Hmm. And it's because, certain number of y'all have to believe in the system.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really interesting, weird dynamic. And he's like, I know he's like the of the white people I went to high school with. He's probably the coolest, nicest person, just good-hearted person that I know.
Mm-hmm.
So I know he's not. I know he's not racist.
Right,
but. Just the conversation of, okay, you have to spend this to get it. And one of the other articles I read was about how black people deal with reality and white people deal with facts.
Right.
Which in and of itself doesn't necessarily correlate. Because you think things, you factually, it says that things are supposed to work this way.
Exactly.
But in reality, that's right. not how they work.
Right. Right.
So he read the grand jury testimony and he believed the cop.
Mm-hmm.
Which says, okay, so when you go to court, you automatically give the cop the benefit of the doubt. But all of the stuff that I've read over the years as far as Innocence Project thing, cops lie all the fucking time.
Oh, yeah. Because they've got each other's back.
Because they got each other's back, yeah. And even even not necessarily having each other's back, it just happens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want to close the case. You have a theory of how the case went. That's a story unless somebody tells you specifically this is what happened.
Mm-hmm.
That's always a story. So that was pretty interesting that he would justify. So I kind of was like, maybe you should watch a couple of the things that I've watched to see how the system really works, as opposed to you just following the system. And another one of my friends pointed out that cops killed unarmed white people all the time. And I was like, okay, well, if that's the case, why the fuck aren't y'all protesting?
That's a good point.
Well, the reason that we all wouldn't be protesting that is the assumption that if they're killing unarmed white people, they did something to deserve it. That they attacked a cop, that they were attacking somebody else, that they put themselves in the position where they caused themselves to be shot by a cop. That would be the assumption.
Right.
Or perhaps we're all just hanging out ignorantly, not aware of it. That's part of it.
I think that's part of it. The other mm-hmm. part of it, y'all aren't really unified.
Yeah.
No, there's no. Listen, and here's why. We can't have the white community, because if you do, everybody goes, oh, that's the Klan.
Right.
that is kind of true.
But yes, exactly.
That is kind of true. But the other part of that is you can't even for good, you know, necessarily for good things.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
right.
Like I said, if like so there's one post going around about a white kid who was killed by a cop.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, well, why come Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton aren't talking about this? Well, as I pointed out on the show before, Al Sharpton only shows up if you ask him to come. So if that kid's parents asked Al to come, I'm pretty sure he would show up.
Right.
The other part of this is, why come all of these big government, anti-big government Republicans aren't on the bandwagon?
Stepping up on it, yeah.
So I'm like, well, fuck, why come Rand Paul or Walker from, why come these people aren't out?
Were you going to say Walker, Texas Ranger?
No.
Because that would be awesome. Let's get even Chuck Norris on the case.
Even him, he's a big government Republican.
Yeah,
so why come, he's not out protesting the death of this kid by the cops.
Yeah.
I'll tell you why. Mostly because we just look the other way and go about our lives. So it also sort of takes away some of the, for lack of a better term, bite of the, you don't care about black lives. No, it's that we don't care about anybody else because we're busy doing our thing. And if it doesn't really directly impact our thing, it's not even a factor for us. It's out of sight, out of mind. And it just sort of points out the fact that people just sort of go through and do their own thing. And it's not that we care any less about black lives than we do about any other. We just don't care. Everybody's just really apathetic. And so it makes it sound like, oh, it's a prejudice thing, when really it's a lot of people just don't care. They're just so oblivious to anything outside of their bubble.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And it is, that's just the way it is. And it's not, so a lot of times things get painted as racism and they're just a lack of humanity overall instead of overt racism. But if you're in the community that is, whether it's the black community, the Asian community, the Hispanic community, you're like, oh, white people don't care about us. No, white people don't care about anything. They don't care about other white people. If it's not in front of us, it's not on our radar.
I think the key word you hit was community, and you kept saying these different communities.
There's no community.
The American way that has been adopted and even bred into most of my peers is fuck the community. You're just gonna get all you can get, do what you gotta do, be the individual.
I'm an individual.
And you're always competing against everyone else. You're competing against everyone else. You don't want to help them. You're competing. You need to get, buy, take, break, and do it again. And that's what we're bred to do.
Mm-hmm.
Community is not a factor. And obviously, the black community is a strong, wholesome, very...
Well, it's not all wholesome.
It's not all wholesome. I guess wholesome isn't the right word. The word I'm trying to get at is there is, when it comes down to it, there could be two black dudes who hate each other, but when it comes to their people group and their community, they'll back each other up.
Yeah.
But if two white dudes do that, it's often called racist.
Yeah.
If you were to do the same thing with two white guys, go, oh, well, there's a Hispanic guy who's roaming around our neighborhood looking shady. Us white guys need to stick together. Everyone's going to call that racism. Mm. Everybody is going to call that racism. So people go out of their way to not do that.
That's
because
true.
Nobody wants to be called racist.
Uh-huh.
And you go,
it's a catch 22, huh?
But many of them are.
Many of them are. I'm not going to deny that. There's plenty of people who are racist.
I have to say, my favorite screenplay ever written that actually won Academy Awards was the movie Crash, written by Paul Haggis.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was a good
movie. This movie points out that every race is racist. It was an interesting experience to be sitting in a theater in Fairfield, California, with black people, Mexicans, Russians, all sorts of people, Asians, and we're all laughing at each other's racist jokes. And then you get this moment where you're like, wait a sec, I'm not by myself in my living room.
Right.
I'm sitting next to this person, and it's like, I mean, there's a bit of that in everyone.
Right. The only difference is, actually, okay, so everything that you two just said, those were the conclusions that I came to.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
In having those exchanges with those people. Because me and my girlfriend actually talked about this morning or during lunch today. And that was the conclusion. Like, you pretty much, you just said everything, conclusion that I came to. But the other part of it is with the way this, I don't think most white people are racist, but the system is geared, the way the system is geared, it is racist. And we don't deal with that because of what you just said.
Right.
Which is everybody's apathetic unless it affects them.
Right.
And the fact that, and for you two to admit what you just admitted, that's like one of the biggest headaches, issues that we have, is because nobody will ever admit shit when you actually try to have the conversation. And then it's like, well, no, just say that it is what it is.
Yeah.
And then we can move forward. But my analogy I came up with is cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So if your doctor tells you tomorrow you have cancer,
mm-hmm.
you can't say, oh, well, I'm just going to eat well now.
It's too late.
And I'm going to eat better now.
I'm going to go see my herbalist, and I don't believe in cancer.
Yeah, and I'm just going to. I'm just going to keep going, and I'm going to do well now, and pretend that I don't have cancer. No, you still have cancer.
Mm.
So America still has cancer.
Yeah.
That it still needs to deal with, and until that happens, then you know we'll be some other cop will kill another kid, and then we'll be back at this again.
Yeah. Yeah, one of the things that I had been a part of a thread of people like in a very good, well-balanced, open discussion about a lot of the case. One of the things that was very upsetting to all of us was the fact that there was no dash cam on the car, none of that. And I think that could be something that hopefully our nation learns from this is we're spending tax dollars on some bullshit. Why don't we go ahead and make sure there's a cam on every single cop car in the United States?
Well, and it goes beyond cop cars because a dash
the
cam...
The body cams are much preferred.
The body cam is what would have really told the story
right.
a little bit better. And everything is moving in that direction.
Well, Obama just asked for $75 million towards that end today.
Mm-hmm.
He asked for $263 million for policing altogether,
getting that equipment,
but he asked for like $75 million, I think, to get that specific equipment.
I hope so, because I was reading some statistics that stated after the Rodney King and all that, they made a big push, and it wasn't until like 2003 we got to like 50% of every cop car in America. That's a small number. And in 2010, it was only 65%.
Yeah.
That's a small percentage of cop vehicles that have some accountability. And I definitely prefer the body cam. I'm just
yeah.
So you could have took the money that you paid on a tactical weapon
mm-hmm.
that you're not going to ever use.
Yeah.
And you could have supplied your
you
department with
you could have protected your own reputation if in fact a cop is being framed, which does happen, or you're protecting the citizens more importantly, because we all know corruption can corrupt. I mean, authority can corrupt.
Well, I think knowing what happened is the most important thing.
Exactly.
And having the facts
right.
tell the story.
Yeah.
Because eyewitnesses lie. Eyewitnesses see things from different angles. Mm-hmm. Two people can look at the exact same thing and see something different.
Yeah.
Right.
And the best thing that would have happened in this situation had that prosecutor just took himself totally out of the loop.
Well, and so you'd said this before, and it took me a while to kind of, because it's all been Ferguson, 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 Ferguson. At one point you said it's not about Ferguson. And because people got into the minutia of it.
Yeah.
And whether or not Mike Brown attacked the officer, and whether or not as much force as was deployed was necessary, isn't really the point.
Right.
Because even if this was a case where the cop was dead on, right, 100% justified in what he did, there are still problems
right
that yeah. need to be dealt with.
Absolutely.
And this is just more of a, hey, we need to start looking at this and paying attention to this, as opposed to, but people got so caught up in taking sides. Mike Brown's a gentle giant. No, this cop was blah, blah, blah. And honestly, my first reaction to the whole thing was this. When I heard about it, because it happened in the middle of the afternoon, and I said, I know there are racist cops, but I find it very difficult to believe that a cop in the middle of the street, in the middle of the afternoon, surrounded by witnesses, would just randomly gun down an unarmed teenager. It just, I mean, if you told me that happened at 4 a.m. in the dark somewhere, I'd be like, yeah, okay, a racist cop would do that. But with all of those witnesses, but again, that's the minutia of
right.
this side, that side, what's a, and it shouldn't be a take sides thing. It should mm-hmm. be a,
what can we learn from this? And how,
yeah.
right.
how but, as Kareem says, do we cure the cancer?
Yeah. And the other part was the people's reaction to it would not have been what it was had it just been handled properly.
Right.
In the first place.
Right.
Well, and the other thing about the prosecutor is a lot of times the prosecutors would just go, and Giuliani said this, the prosecutor would look at it and go, I know Giuliani said a lot of bullshit, so I'm going to pick the one little thing he said that actually made sense. A lot of times prosecutors will look at it and go, I don't have enough evidence based on what's in front of me to get a conviction, so I'm not going to indict.
Right.
But he wanted to go, you know what? I'm going to cover my ass. I'm going to throw everything at the grand jury, and then they can take the heat for whether we indict or not.
And that's not what he did.
Well, that's what
that was
happened.
That was the perception of what he was going to do was. If you read the transcripts and you see what he did, he actually acted more like a defense attorney than he did a prosecutor. Because I have never seen a grand jury run that way. And you don't try a case in front of the grand jury.
No.
You just present the evidence so that you can get it to court.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like I said, his ego got caught up in the minutia, like you said.
And I don't think he wanted to go to court with it. So I think he walked in there and said, here's what I have. Normally a prosecutor goes in and goes, I got this, I got this, I got this, and you should indict.
He walked them the way that he wanted them to go. Because one of the things that they found was that one of the statutes that they gave the jurors was like something that was the Supreme Court had already declared illegal. You missed that part, huh?
Yeah.
I didn't have 100 free days to read through, so yeah. I'm
just telling you. So they presented them with a legal statute that the Supreme Court had already declared illegal. So then they came back. This is right before a dude testified. So then they came back later and said, oh, well, ignore that one. Use this one. And the jurors were like, wait a minute. What is this? And then she was like, oh, you don't have to. This isn't law school. So you don't really need to know. And they were like, but how? Why is this different than what it was? And they never really got an explanation. So the people that, and I didn't have 100 days to do it too, but the people that have read through it have found things like that.
Yeah, but let's not forget, also there are people who are reading through it with agendas, looking for certain things to right. present a certain way but to make their
exactly.
argument.
Exactly, but if it's not right, it's not right. Nobody runs a I have never heard of a grand jury being run like that ever. And I haven't seen anybody who's been on television to say that a grand jury is ran like that. Nobody. Even
the only thing I saw was I saw Dan Abrams, who is a lawyer, and he worked for MSNBC for a long time. He worked for ABC for a long time.
Yeah.
And he wrote an op-ed, and the title was "Just because it's not normal doesn't mean it's not right." And it was talking about the ways in which the prosecutor did things differently. And just because he did things differently doesn't mean it's not right. And I read the headline, I read a little bit of it, and I got bored and I moved on with my day.
But yeah, but like I said, if you want in the situation, if you want the semblance of fairness, then you do it everything above board.
Mm-hmm.
So that everybody knows you did everything above board.
Yeah.
You don't release a verdict at 9 o'clock at night.
That was weird to me that that they held that for 9 hours. Mm. I get for holding it for a couple of hours.
That wasn't weird. That was planned.
Well, yes, but to me as a normal person, I'm like, okay, you want to wait a couple of hours because you want to deploy whomever to wherever because you know there's going to be protests and you want to make sure that things are quote unquote protected, even though there were businesses that were burned down, there were businesses that were looted. And businesses that were destroyed from the place where the leaked videotape of Mike Brown and the store owner came out to another black-owned business where woman lost everything. And there's been a fund set up.
Yeah, she got like $250,000.
Yeah, so she's going to be able to rebuild because of that.
Yeah.
But I get wanting to delay it for a couple of hours to deploy people in certain spots. The length of time they waited was, I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
I'm like, why are you waiting until, okay, you're going to wait until after the news cycle on the East Coast so it won't be on the 6 o'clock news on the East Coast.
At some point, when I tell you that something's going to happen, and it happens the way I tell you that it's going to happen, you're going to stop looking at me like I'm a crazy conspiracy theorist and actually think, well, maybe, damn it, he knows what the fuck he's talking about. Because everything happened the way that I said it would happen. And that's because, historically, that's the way that it's happened.
Well, here's what I say. Missouri needs to get out of the union. I've had enough of them.
And that's not Missouri. That is the whole country.
Well, anyway, so we've made a lot of breakthroughs here, and I think I know you've posted a lot of stuff from Chris Rock the past couple of days. I found something from Chris Rock that is kind of a, for lack of a better term, public service announcement of sorts, and this is from a couple of years ago, but I think it applies today as well.
Have you ever been face to face with a police officer and wondered, is he about to kick my ass? Well, wonder no more. If you follow these easy tips, you'll be fine. First, obey the law. Laws were made for a reason. Think of them as hints. You've heard people say, man, I wouldn't do that shit if I was you. Well, here's some of that shit. Carjacking, armed robbery, arson, selling drugs, buying drugs, stabbing, shooting. You know, you probably won't get your ass kicked if you just use common sense. If you jump a subway turnstile, you might just get off with a warning from the police. But if you jump a turnstile carrying a loaded gun and smoking a joint, then maybe you need your ass kicked. We all know what happened to Rodney King. But Rodney wouldn't have gotten his ass kicked if he had just followed this simple tip. When you see flashing police lights in your mirror, stop immediately. Everybody knows, if the police have to come and get you, They're bringing an ass kicking with them. Here's a no-brainer. If you're listening to loud rap music, turn that shit off. Blasting fuck the police while you're getting pulled over by the police is just ignorant. When an officer approaches your car, be polite.
Is there a problem, officer?
And stay in your car with your hands on the wheel.
What the fuck do you want, motherfucker?
Unless you want your ass kicked. Want to give a friend a ride? Not so fast. Your friend might be crazy. Now, before you let your friend in your car, ask them these questions. Do you have a gun? Do you have drugs? Do you have any warrants? And in case you do get pulled over by the cops.
License and registration, please.
Remind your friend to do this one thing. Shut the fuck up.
Man, don't give him shit. What the fuck do you want?
If you have to give a friend a ride, get a white friend. A white friend can be the difference between a ticket and a bullet in the ass. Here's a tip you should never forget. If your woman is mad at you, leave her at home. Because a mad woman will say anything.
He got weed! He got weed!
If your woman is mad at you, there's nothing she'd like to see more than you getting your ass kicked.
That's my kick, kid! Come on, get your ass! Take a seat! Take a seat! Take a seat! He got weed! He got weed!
Now let's review. Obey the law. Use common sense. Stop immediately. Turn that shit off. Be polite. Shut the fuck up. Get a white friend. And last but not least, don't ride with a mad woman. If you follow these simple pointers, you probably won't get your ass kicked by the police.
So there you go. From the Chris Rock Show.
Oh, and what did Chris said today about race relations? He said it's all bullshit. He said the thing is this, white people are crazy. They've always been crazy. He said, for you to say that Obama is the president now isn't because black people, you finally found a black person that was qualified. There's always been black people that were qualified. No, you just have less racist white people. Like, yeah. This is the nicest group of white people we've had in this country up to this point.
And all you do is complain about us.
That is it.
For God's sake.
That is what it is.
Well, now, you might have already guessed this, but accusations against Bill Cosby of sexual assault, both old and new, are hurting his once wholesome image. In fact, he has fallen from third to 2,615th place on a ranking of most trusted celebrities.
What?
I had no idea.
Where does this poll come from?
It's from the marketing arm. The list, which includes more than 3,000 celebrities, is determined by online polls, according to the Wall Street Journal. Now, celebrities at the top of this year's trustworthiness list include Brian Williams, Betty White, and Tom Hanks. Toward the bottom, with Cosby, is Manti Te'o, the former Notre Dame linebacker who made up a girlfriend. With cancer.
Wow.
He didn't make it up.
Somebody made it up and did it to him.
He got scammed into believing he had a girlfriend who died of cancer. It doesn't make it any easier when I explain it that way, though.
Nope.
While some of the accusations against Cosby that he drugged and sexually assaulted numerous women throughout the past four decades aren't new, they are receiving more attention now than they did because of Hannibal Buress. Who did it in Philadelphia, which is Cosby's hometown.
Now, I think somebody killed him because I haven't seen him since this shit happened.
He is on what the hell is that name of that show? Damn it, Broad City. He is on the show, the Comedy Central show Broad City, that should be coming back for season two soon.
That's what you think. Like I said, I haven't seen, for somebody to start all this shit, you haven't seen him interviewed anywhere.
Well, he's probably keeping his head down because Cosby threatened him. Because if I hear one more word from you, I'm going to jam a Jell-O pudding pop so far up your ass, you're going to freeze shut, son. At last count, 16 women have come forward to accuse Cosby. The 77-year-old actor has repeatedly refused to address the allegations. he told Florida Today people should fact check, people shouldn't have to go through that, and shouldn't answer to innuendos. Now, according to the marketing arm, his trustworthiness isn't the only thing that's taken a hit. He now ranks 2,746th on a similar list of viable celebrity spokespeople. Cosby once held third spot on that list as well. So far, since the announcements came out, NBC shelved the project that he was in. Netflix indefinitely postponed a Cosby comedy special, and TV Land has pulled all the reruns of The Cosby Show.
That's the dumbest shit.
That's ridiculous. Come on.
Well,
you know what?
Like I said, if it was 3, I might believe it. Now that it's up to 16, I don't believe it.
You know what? The dude, even if it is true, don't take my Cosby Show away from me. Let me watch the fucking Cosby Show.
Well, you have to buy the DVDs.
You're going to have to buy the DVDs. And put more money in his pocket then.
Yeah, there you go. Either way. So let's a little quick Florida corner, because we have some from Thanksgiving. A Florida man who urinated on the living room during the Thanksgiving gathering of his girlfriend's family was arrested, not for that, after he continued to make a disturbance outside the house. Willie B. Norfolk Jr., who's 41, was discovered on Thursday at 12:43 a.m. by police.
Sounds like one of my cousins.
Probably. Lying down on the 2300 block of Neptune Street. An officer detected an odor of an alcoholic beverage on his breath after arriving at the scene. Norfolk began shouting and told the officer he was kicked out of a nearby home of his girlfriend's brother-in-law. Now, according to police, the brother-in-law said Norfolk was escorted out of the home after urinating on the living room floor.
I think your mic might be overmodulating or dying. Is that just me?
I think it's just you. I think it's your headphones.
Sorry, my headphones sound like Dookie.
Yeah.
Go on.
We're good. Anyway, after continually shouting obscenities, Norfolk was taken into custody and taken to Porter County Jail, where he was charged with resisting law enforcement, disorderly conduct, and public intoxication. Let me see if we can this one. Also, a Gainesville woman was arrested Saturday after police said she stabbed a friend with a set of keys during an argument about beer being missing from the refrigerator. Linda Lee Solis Rivera, who's 55, became angry with a friend in her home when she discovered there was no more beer in the refrigerator. I think we've all been there. Solis Rivera tried to punch the man, but he was able to grab her fists and keep her from swinging. The two lost their balance, fell on the ground, and Solis Rivera then began stabbing the man in the head with a set of keys she was holding. He suffered 5 to 6 puncture wounds on his scalp, was bleeding, and had visible bruises on his head. EMS responded and treated the injuries, which were not life-threatening, thank God. She was arrested, booked into county jail with a $25,000 bond, and she's going to face a charge of aggravated battery. So that's what's going on in Florida. It's a rough week in Florida.
Rough week.
You know who else had a rough week?
Busta
Rhymes had a rough week.
Busta Rhymes still around?
Well, he is.
Baking soda! I got baking soda! We're gonna get through the class, nigga!
So he's doing a... He was doing a concert at New York's Webster Hall on the 28th with a cigar in one hand and a bottle of liquor in the other. I think I found the problem. The veteran rapper took a nosedive off the stage just as his protege launched into his viral hit, Coco. TMZ posted a photo of Rhymes with a bloody gash on his head as he stood up after the stumble. But the rapper reported on Twitter, he's, and I quote, super good after the incident. Said, I salute all calls from family and friends making sure I'm good. Just for the record, I'm super good. When you love what you do and you're passionate.
You know what? Bill Cosby loves what he does, and he's passionate.
So that's what happened. That's what it sounds like when Busta Rhymes falls off a stage on his head.
Well, I'm impressed he kept on punching through.
He's super good.
He's super good. Ain't no lie.
Oh, Lord.
Baking soda.
Baking soda! Thud! All right.
Must have been vinegar in that baking soda. Shit.
It's December now. It's almost Christmas time, or Kwanzaa, or Hanukkah, whatever you celebrate for the holidays.
Yeah.
For all of your holiday shopping needs, if you're going to shop on Amazon, please consider going through NateDarlingShow.com. We've got a Shop Amazon tab right there on the page. You click it, and it brings you right to Amazon. It doesn't cost you anything extra. It helps support the show, and we do appreciate it. I've used it for a little holiday shopping of my own. There'll be a gift-wrapped item arriving at my dad's house. should be there tomorrow. If you're,
gift wrapped. Did you hear that, folks?
Gift wrapped.
Amazon
in a box.
Gift wrapped.
Mm-hmm. So you can go ahead and do that. It's NateDarlingShow.com. It's the shop Amazon
such
tab.
Such a sweet boy.
Well, you know, it's. I don't want to fly with that thing. I do. I'm bringing a few things with me in the suitcase, but
no small farm animals.
No therapy animals will be flying. Okay. Hef is going to stay right here in the apartment and keep a handle on things.
Good man.
So that's what's going to happen with that. But yeah, I'll be going back to the Northeast Kingdom of Vermont, flying the red eye on the 23rd and back on New Year's Eve because I don't want to pay more than $1,000 for a round trip flight. And the only way to do that is to fly on the crappiest days to fly. So I'll be landing back in Sacramento at about 11 p.m. on New Year's Eve.
Wow.
Yeah. Good times.
That's going to suck donkey balls.
Well, my girlfriend's going to pick me up at the airport, so at least I'll get to ring in the
door.
Did you hear that? Hey.
My girlfriend's
right.
going to pick me up from the airport.
I'm contractually obligated to use that term now. Because, well, she's going to pick me up from an airport an hour before New Year's, so I'll have to have something chilling in the fridge and be ready to go.
Don't let the big world overwhelm you. Let's get small. Small Town News.
Hey, and speaking of the Northeast Kingdom, Small Town News comes from there. Dateline Irisburg. Now, along Route 5 in Irisburg, there is a store where you can rent a movie and purchase a firearm at the same time. Dare to dream, right?
You know, it's a diehard season. Give me that Bruce Willis. Let's go.
This store is Green Mountain Sporting Goods and Nancy's Video. Now, they're two separate businesses that share the same retail space. It's an interesting combination, maybe, but one that works. See, now, Nancy's Video has been in Brian Lemoy's family since it opened in 1990. Lemoy eventually took over the business, opening Green Mountain Sporting Goods in 2006. This summer, they were able to double the square footage of the building, allowing them to increase retail space as well as manufacture firearms and ammunition.
Manufacture.
They're
manufacturing.
Mm-hmm.
Right on.
They are. When it comes to firearms, they can make them, sell them, fix them. See, he's a master gunsmith, so for repairs, cleanings, and customization, Green Mountain Sporting Goods has you covered.
You know what? If anyone has anything against this, you better ask yourself, did you watch Netflix in the recent month? Because you're the reason the video biz is going out, and people got to find alternative money sources, such as gun production.
And if you got a problem with them, you can take it up with them. The store also sells hunting, fishing, trapping, and camping gear, basically stocking anything to do with the outdoors. If they don't have it, they can get it for you. See, now, Brian's not only a local business owner, he's also the constable of Irisburg. And a certified
Constable of Irisburg. I want to invite him to my birthday.
And a certified part-time police officer.
He's the constipated of Irisburg.
The constipated of Irish brew. I hope he brings me one of those.
See, now, giving back to and creating a sense of community is something he feels strongly about. He said, "We're a family-oriented business, and we treat our customers like family. We want to bring back that sense of store owner cares about more than just making money. We like working with our customers on an individual basis." So, yeah. Traditional Vermont values are not the only things that he and his fiancée, Trish, are looking to revive through their business. Keeping the old-time traditions of Vermont alive is something they're both passionate about. They recently started Northeast Kingdom Sportsman Education Center, which is a nonprofit that aims to teach hunters education, trapping, and canning. That's right, canning, just to name a few.
So, you shoot yourself an elk. You're going to put it in cans?
Yeah, you can can your elk.
You don't just freeze it? You're going to shove it in cans?
Yeah, you could can it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. The goal is to eventually purchase land that will house the training facility. See, the simple everyday skills I grew up with are slowly being lost, so there's a need to keep these practical skills alive. According to Trish, we need to take a step backwards and bring back some of this knowledge before it's lost.
That is true.
Yeah.
Although an outdoor enthusiast herself, being a certified range safety officer through the NRA, Trish looks after the video store. You know what's not happening at the video store? Robberies. Not a one. Now, speaking of that, over 5,700 titles to choose from and over 6,700 DVDs on hand. And new releases are only $2 a night. Old titles run just $1.50. They also sell old movies. And both stores active on Facebook. In the future, they would like to see an indoor and outdoor gun range be available at the Irisburg location. So there you go. They've got a website.
Find them on Facebook. Click like.
Or just drive
there.
Or just drive US Route 5 between Orleans and Coventry, and you'll see him right there in Irisburg, right on the main drag.
Watch out for the constable.
The constipated?
The constipated.
You know who you have to watch out for there is the Vermont State Police, because they will pull you over. They'll whip a U-ey in the road. They'll pull you over, give you a ticket, and then pull another U-ey, stopping across the road because this has happened to me.
You had this happen.
I had this happen. He went to pull a U-ey to go back the way he was going and ended up stopped. Basically right across the road, and I'm like sitting there. I pulled out my cell phone waiting to call 911, so I'm like, I want to watch this cop get T-boned.
Right.
I hope he doesn't fly into my car.
Yeah. What an idiot.
Thankfully nothing happened, but anyway, that's small town news, and that's that for this episode, the first one of December of the Nate Darling Show. Everybody, and enjoy the rest of your hump day. Got a fresh new show coming for you for Friday. And till then, enjoy this pump and jam from Travie McCoy and Ollie Murs. It's called Wrapped Up. It's appropriate, right? Gift wrapping season.
Oh, how cute.
Yeah,
Amazon.com.
It is. All right. We'll see you in a couple days. Bye-bye, everybody. It's too late because you're in my blood now. There's something about you.
So intelligent, yeah. Made me want to reapply to school for the hell of it. I be the student, you be the teacher. Miss Sophisticated, such a pleasure to meet you. Yeah, but here's the only issue. Since we met, you gotta turn my world upside down. And I don't really mind Spider-Man kissing you as long as you're planning on sticking around. The happiest boy in the world goes to me. Not a chance, nobody came close to him. I kinda knew you was troublesome. Yeah. You got me wrapped around your finger like bubblegum. Everything you do,
everywhere that you move, there's just something about you. There's just something about you, do everything that you do, every way that you move, there's just something about you.